For some perspective on the hostilities between Israel and Hamas, VOA's Carol Castiel speaks with Saeed Erekat, Washington correspondent and political analyst for the Jerusalem-based Al-Quds Daily newspaper, plus Natan Sachs, fellow at the Center for Middle East Policy at the Brookings Institution. Here's Carol Castiel.
Let me turn first to Natan Sachs. How do you think we got to this point? What are the factors, in your view, that led to this unfortunate round of violence?
We have sort of a combination, I think, of two different things. The first is a very unfortunate sequence of events, but underlying them is a very unstable equilibrium. We have a Hamas in control in Gaza, fundamentally opposed to the peace process. We have an Israeli government that is unwilling to accept Hamas inside a Palestinian unity government, and Hamas that is preparing for this battle for a long time. And the result is that a series of events seemingly unrelated, first the kidnappings, then the revenge killings, that lead to Hamas operations in Gaza, all these lead down this escalation road. So it's a combination of two things: trigger, seemingly random, but an underlying very unstable equilibrium between two parties that don't have mutual understanding of what a status quo might be.
And to you, Saeed Erekat, anything to add or subtract to that?
Well, I agree with a lot of what Natan said, but also we have to understand that this is the result of a very paralyzed process that really has not produced anything for the Palestinians in the last so many years. I mean, you know, it just keeps on going, and hope is lost. You know, the Israelis keep jumping all over the place saying that the Palestinians have no unity, the authority does not represent all Palestinians, Hamas is in Gaza, and then when the Palestinians attempt to have some sort of unity that goes along that the United States government said we are willing to work with it, then Israel rejects that and basically begins to stir a frenzy that led to all the tragic events.
Well, back to you, Natan Sachs, to talk about the difference between this particular war between Hamas and Israel. We saw outbreaks of violence in 2008 and then 2012, but the political landscape was different. We had a different Egypt. Talk about how the political landscape has changed and how that is affecting the current round of violence.
The situation now is very different than it was in 2008 and certainly in 2012. And the big difference indeed is Egypt. Egypt in 2012 was ruled by Morsi and by a Muslim Brotherhood elected president. Muslim Brotherhood is, of course, the parent organization of Hamas. Unlike Hamas, the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt is largely peaceful. Hamas is a political wing of the Muslim Brotherhood, but also has a massive militia in the Gaza Strip that, as we see by the vast tunnels they've been preparing, for this war for a long time. But during the interim years, for a long time, there was mutual deterrence between Israel and Hamas. Recently, Hamas found itself in a very difficult situation. The Egyptian regime has changed, and now we have a government that is very hostile to the Muslim Brotherhood and is extremely hostile to Hamas as well. So where in the past, Hamas saw itself as part of an ascendant movement in the whole region, the Muslim Brotherhood that was winning in various forms elections around the region, now it's in a corner with very few allies, mostly Qatar and the Arab world, and very strongly opposed to it, Egypt, which borders Gaza, of course, but also Saudi Arabia and others. And the result is that Hamas found itself cut off from funds, cut off from the tunnels, the smuggling tunnels between Gaza and Sinai in Egypt, which the Egyptians have mostly shut down. It was very strapped for cash. It's part of the means for bringing in weapons that it had before were cut down. And the result is we had a Hamas that was cornered, and that's part of why we see this seemingly nihilistic behavior, rejecting all ceasefires, even from Egypt, and a very different situation than we saw in 2012, where Egypt had a lot of leverage over Hamas.
Turning to you, Saeed Erekat, to talk about this geopolitical landscape, how that has perhaps affected the type of violence that we're seeing and the behavior on the part of Hamas in particular.
Well, we need to go back to how this thing evolved. What happened, there was a resolution on January 9, 2009, by the United Nations Security Council, Resolution 1860, which actually talked about lifting the siege, actually talked about opening the crossing. Gaza is living under unlivable conditions. It has been under siege for seven straight years. It is cut off from the rest of the world. You know, while Israel withdrew from the inside of Gaza, it really maintains total control over land, sea, air. Nothing goes in and out of Gaza. And then, as you said, the geopolitical landscape has changed dramatically, especially with Sisi coming to power in Egypt and this animosity towards Hamas. So they were really marginalized. And in fact, when the government was formed, it was really an indication that Hamas was bought because it was cornered. It was joining with the Palestinian Authority, and it was basically moving towards adopting the PLO position on two-state solution and all that. This, of course, was completely blown out of the water with this most recent attacks on Gaza.
Go ahead, Nathan Sachs.
I think the so-called siege needs to be put in context. Two things are important. The first, the blockade of Gaza and the blockade of some of things going in. There are many things going in all the time, even during the war, including water, electricity, and some medicine. But, of course, there's very severe limitations, which make the civilian life in Gaza very difficult. There's a blockade not merely by Israel, but by Egypt, which is also a neighbor of the Gaza Strip. And the reason is that there is very serious and completely justified fear that Hamas will be bringing in weapons, as it apparently did. And so the terrible conditions you mentioned in the introduction, the fact that there are no shelters, there are no defenses, they go into this battle, this is in part a choice by the government of Hamas. Another very important point is that this blockade did not happen when Israel left the Gaza Strip. Israel left the Gaza Strip with the hope that the Gaza Strip could receive an enormous amount of aid internationally and be a flourishing place. The blockade followed the Hamas violent takeover and fighting from the Gaza Strip. There's war between Hamas and Israel. That is why there's a blockade. That's why the United Nations has called it a legal one. It may be not smart, but it is in fact legal because of a war between the two parties. In other words, this terrible situation that Gazans are in, even before this war and certainly during this war, is the context of a choice, a political choice, choosing Hamas, but also Hamas itself, choosing to go to a terrible war with an overwhelmingly stronger power. Now, I'm not trying to play the blame game. It doesn't especially matter who's more at fault.
We can go through the chronology and say sort of point fingers and so on, but the fact of the matter is that in Gaza, life as it is not sustainable. There is a horrifying situation that is ongoing. So we can go into the history of this thing. The fact of the matter is that Hamas, you know, much as it is unliked maybe among the Palestinians and in the region, but it was elected. It was not given a chance. It was a decision taken by the Bush administration, by others, by many countries, Egypt, even, you know, the Palestinian authorities, not to deal with Hamas and to deny it, let's say, electoral victory and so on, and then impose this really horrifying siege. They're unable to import goods. They're unable to travel. Egypt as well, and I agree with Nathan. Egypt is a party to this siege or blockade.
Syed Erekat is Washington correspondent and political analyst for the Jerusalem-based Al-Quds Daily newspaper. He and Nathan Sachs, fellow at the Center for Middle East Policy at the Brookings Institution, appeared on the VOA program Encounter with host Carol Castiel. You can hear their entire conversation by going to our website, voanews.com, and looking under the Programs tab for Encounter.